The most high-quality wins is Oklahoma. Wins over Oklahoma State, TCU, and Ohio State should have the Sooners 2. I think Miami's 3. The win over Notre Dame Saturday is really their only big one, but it is big, and they haven't lost. Clemson should be 4. The more Auburn wins, the better for them. Remember, they beat Auburn. 5, Wisconsin. They're undefeated, but their best win is Iowa. Not good enough to pass any of the teams I've already mentioned. And beating number 1 Georgia by 23 should get 2-loss Auburn all the way to 6. The committee loves big wins and tough schedules. One more time, 1 Bama, 2 Oklahoma, 3 Miami, 4 Clemson, 5 Wisconsin, 6 Auburn. But we'll find out for sure tonight. In 60 seconds, it's why he's the king.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
I'm good with the Knicks' Enes Kanter defending himself and his team, no question. Don't get punked by anybody, LeBron James included. And say whatever you need to say, and Enes did. Quote, whatever you want to call yourself, king, queen, princess, whatever, we're going to fight. I love Enes. He's all in on the Knicks like he was on the Thunder before. Great team, dude. But LeBron showed us why he is the king with his response. Classy, funny, respectful. Quote, I'm the king, my wife is the queen, and my daughter is the princess, so we got all three covered. Great reply. Nothing rattles that guy. He didn't need to be disrespectful towards Kanter, and he wasn't. Well done, King. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Hi, it's me, that little voice inside your head. You spent all year taking care of business. Let Office Depot Office Max take care of you. There's this new HP Pavilion laptop with 8th generation Intel Core i5 processor. Save $200, now just $449. Look at it. It's only $449 at Office Depot Office Max. Go ahead. You deserve it.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 11/11. Limit 1.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh. Well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My Lists that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
One championship Ford driver believes his team is peaking at just the right time. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Introducing Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts that keep you dry and comfortable in all conditions. Featuring quick-drying, water-repellent fabric and UPF protection, Wrangler Outdoor ensures you're ready for wherever the day takes you, whether it's a walk in the city or a trek in the wilderness. Wrangler Outdoor. Clothing with everyday versatility and outdoor credibility.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
2014 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion Kevin Harvick knows what it takes to win the sport's top prize. And for Harvick, who is known in the garage as the closer for all of his late race passes for race wins, says his Stewart-Haas Racing team is peaking at the right time when it counts the most.
This has by far been our best round. It's the right time of year to be peaking. I feel really good about our mile and a half program. Homestead's been a great racetrack for us.
Harvick will join Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. in the title fight in this Sunday's Ford EcoBoost 400 in Miami. And JTG Doherty Racing has formed a technical alliance with Hendrick Motorsports for next season. The team with drivers A.J. Allmendinger and Chris Buescher will continue to receive engines from ECR. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back and welcome in hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer, getting us to 7 o'clock tonight so we can get out the door. Just a reminder, check out the poll question today at kgymradio.com. It has to do with how you are viewing the Iowa State men's basketball season after the Cyclones got off to an 0-2 start last night, dropping the home opener at Hilton Coliseum to the University of Milwaukee. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Bad news for Iowa football fans coming up in about 25 minutes. No, nobody's hurt, but it's what you have been hoping to avoid. Josh Jackson to the NFL talk. Yes, his name is starting to appear on top 20 prospect lists. I'll tell you a little bit more about that before we get out of here at 7 o'clock tonight. Big thanks to Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He joined us back in hour number one. If you missed it, including 90 seconds of NASCAR, you can download the podcast, also available at kgymradio.com after the show is over. Here with us now for the final time this baseball season, unless there's some sort of big breaking news, maybe he'd be gracious enough to hop on with us. It's Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. And Ed, I'm just going to start with the results of the American League Manager of the Year voting. I'm not necessarily surprised that Paul Molitor won, given the turnaround, but how in the world did A.J. Hinch only get one first-place vote?
Good question. I think it's just the fact that Francona had the long winning streak for the Indians during the course of the year, and I think Molitor was just a sentimental favorite. And don't forget, the balloting was only for the regular season. The ballots were done at the end of the regular season, so it doesn't take into account the postseason. I'm sure if the writers held the balloting today, I'm sure he would have placed second ahead of Francona.
Ed, well, the hot stove season is upon us, and not necessarily free agent signings, but a lot of the talk has been about Giancarlo Stanton, and will he waive his no-trade clause for this team and that team? Do you think that the Miami Marlins will have traded Giancarlo Stanton before the start of the 2018 season?
I think so, but I think it's a big mistake. I know they're tight on cash with the new ownership group, but I think the first move that you're going to do is trading the face of the franchise, and what will probably end up being a pure salary dump, I think, is a mistake. I do think Sherman and Jeter should take the lead of the Guggenheim partners, what they did in L.A. Granted, there are certain, you know, market size and TV contract aside, they had a very similar situation. The Frank McCourt ownership alienated the Dodger fans. Attendance was down, morale was down, and what they decided to do was, for the first 5 years of the ownership, they needed to put a good product on the field, and they decided we are going to lose money. But during the course of those 5 years, as they're building up the goodwill with their fan base, they are building up an outstanding minor league system, so that after that five-year losing period comes to, I mean, red ink period comes to an end, then they can get under the luxury tax with their, you know, young, controllable talent. Again, market size, TV contract aside, I think the Marlins need to do the same thing. Jeffrey Loria's ownership alienated the fan base, and Jeter's first move is firing the four ambassadors of the franchise, McKean, Dawson, Perez, and Conine, and then kind of chicken cowardly ask them to come back for, you know, pennies on the dollar. And now they're talking about, we got to get down to $90 million. We need to trade Stanton. We need to trade this for a pure salary dump. And then that's just alienating the fan base even more. I think they need to take the loss financially for the next 5 years. You know, we're not talking about spending $244 million like the Dodgers. We're just talking about having a salary in the neighborhood of the Astros, $130, $140 million. Because if you take a look at the Marlins lineup, it's a fairly solid lineup if everybody's healthy and productive. They've got one of the best outfields in baseball with Stanton, Yelich, and Osuna. Justin Bour is an outstanding first baseman. I think we're, you know, D. Gordon, a lot of teams, if he is truly on the market, I think a lot of teams, Cubs included, would like to have him atop the lineup. JT Realmuto is probably the best young catcher in all of baseball. If they could simply find a rotation that isn't on the disabled list, this could be a team that could really be competing for the wild card next year, because they have a solid manager in Don Mattingly on the bench. So if they can find a couple bargains on the free agent market, good health from Chen, you know, some uptick in some of their young pitchers, this is a team that could be competing for a wild card. But what Jeter and Sherman's doing by, you know, doing this soap opera of Giancarlo Stanton is really telling the fan base, hey, we don't care about you. We care about the bottom line. We got to get down to $90 million. We don't give a damn how we do it.
How much stock do you put into the talk that maybe he would be open to waiving the no-trade clause if they do move him to Boston or St. Louis? Because a couple of the other options are on the West Coast. It's said that he wants to, if he does move, play closer to where he grew up, where his family is. But conflicting reports today as to whether or not he would be open to Boston or St. Louis's options.
I think the hot stove on Stanton about where he wants to go is going to mimic where Ohtani wants to go, because nobody really knows. They each control their own fate. Ohtani's fate is, you know, money's not going to be an issue because of the agreements in place and the salary cap on international spending. So nobody can pay him more than $3.5 million, so everybody's involved. So it's going to be truly where he wants to play. Stanton's the same thing with his no trade deal. He can go where he truly wants to play. And don't forget, he has an opt out. I think the opt out's what, 2020. So I think, you know, this, well, I don't want to play in Boston, or maybe I don't want to play for St. Louis. That's leverage as far as maybe sweetening the back end of his deal to make the whole thing guaranteed. So I truly think for both Stanton and for Ohtani, this is going to be where they want to play, where they want to spend the next 5 years of their lives. And I think for Stanton, he's made it quite clear he just wants to play somewhere where he can win, play World Series baseball. He's never been in a playoff game in Miami, so I think that's where he wants to go. Boston's a great place for him to go if he wants to be in the postseason. St. Louis is another one. I think for Stanton in that sweepstakes, there's just going to be very few teams involved unless you get creative with a third team involved, because there are very few teams that can afford his contract and have the prospect depth that the Marlins would want in return. So I think you're going to eliminate a lot of them. And I think J.D. Martinez is going to be something that's going to play heavily in the Stanton market, because he's only going to cost money in a couple of draft picks. So I think the teams that were hot after J.D. Martinez, maybe they'll turn their attention to Stanton. But again, depending on what the Marlins are willing to cough up, how much salary are they willing to swallow? And what is their ransom in terms of prospects? So it's not a binary decision, will he or won't he be traded, because I think there are a lot of complicating factors in it, nonetheless, where Stanton wants to play.
One of the teams that has been linked to him was the San Francisco Giants. After a dismal 2017 season, what do you expect them to do in the offseason? Is this a team that can realistically contend in 2018?
If they get healthy and productive, they can. I think they just got old and hurt real fast. I mean, take a look at the outfield. Pence and Span were hurt most of the year in the production drop, and they never did really find a left fielder. I think they just had bad juju to begin with when Baumgarten hurt himself in the opening series, dirt biking. And I think things just fell off the cliff from there. I think they have a lot of interesting pieces in place, you know, Posey, Bell, Panic, Crawford. They really do need to address the outfield. Their prime target seems to be Lorenzo Cain, and they're going to be tied on the free agent market, trade market. They're already being linked to having interest in Billy Hamilton from the Reds and Jackie Bradley Jr. For the Red Sox. So I think they're going to try. And they also talk about wanting to be under the luxury cap. So that, I think the fact that they want to get under the $195 million luxury cap, the fact that their farm system is probably in the bottom third in the majors, I don't think they have the prospect capital or really the financial space to acquire Stanton. So I don't think they're really going to be in play. I think they're probably going to go smaller, for defensive help in the outfield. I think that's going to be where their major upgrades are going to be.
Ed Creech joining us from MLBTradeRumors.com for the final time before we put a cap on the baseball season. Any activity you expect to see come out of the upcoming general manager's meetings?
No, not really. I think basically what that's going to be is just laying the groundwork. General managers talking to each other, seeing what their needs are, what their surpluses are, laying the groundwork for free agents, talking to them about, parameters of deals and what free agents would be interested in, stuff like that. I think this is more, laying the foundation of trades that you're going to see during the winter meetings next month.
Ed, there's one managerial vacancy still left to be filled in Major League Baseball. It's the New York Yankees. Where do you expect them to go for their next manager?
I have no clue. I was stunned they would fire Girardi, so I think Cashman is going to open himself up to a world of possibilities. I think it's interesting seeing some of the names who are saying they're not interested. Raul Banez, Brad Ausmus have all turned down opportunities to interview. It'll be interesting to see how serious Cashman is as far as the media savviness of the new manager will play into this. If that's the case, I think Aaron Boone could be an intriguing name. The top two names I keep hearing tied to this are Aaron Boone, who spent most of his time in the last few years with ESPN, and Hensley Neilins, who was just promoted to bench coach with the Giants. So it's going to be interesting. Cashman's kind of held it close to his vest as far as, the names that are being floated out there. So I have a funny feeling this is going to probably be, and I think, like I said, I thought it was a mistake firing Girardi, but I have a funny feeling he'll probably go with a fresh face who's never been a manager before, but yet can handle the New York media. And that's why I think Aaron Boone right now will probably be, in my book, the front runner for that gig if he's really interested in managing.
I want to ask, I know you're a Brewers fan, so I want to ask you about the reports that your team may be eyeing Jake Arrieta this offseason. What are your thoughts on Jake Arrieta heading north to front that rotation?
Yeah, the only way he's going to be playing games in Miller Park in 2018 is if he re-signs with the National League team or the Cubs. That's it. I know our publication, Major League TradeRumors.com, they had their free agent predictions, and they had Arrieta going to the Brewers for 4 years, $100 million. The Brewers' salary last year was $67.9 million, according to a USA Today report that came out today. I can't see them spending $100 million on Jake Arrieta, who can barely go five, six innings. I know they have a need in the rotation, but you're not going to have, a third of your payroll tied into Jake Arrieta. That's not how David Stearns has done business, and I can't see them breaking the bank for $100 million for Jake Arrieta, making him your highest-paid player on that roster. The Brewers have had really horrible luck signing pitchers, free agent pitchers, to long-term contracts, whether it be Jeff Suppan, Kyle Loesch, Randy Wolf, or most recently Matt Garza. So now, if they want to go fishing for Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb, I think those are going to be interesting because they're a little bit younger, and I think they still have a little bit of upside there. But Jake Arrieta, I think his deep postseason runs are really limited to him to about a 5-6 inning pitcher. And for $25 million, I think that's a gigantic overpay.
Sticking in the NL Central, Jed Hoyer said that this is going to be the biggest offseason or the most the busiest offseason for the Cubs yet under that regime. What is priority number one for the Northsiders this offseason?
Good question. They need to fix the rotation because Arrieta's a free agent, Lackey's a free agent. And so that's, 40% of your rotation gone. And they did a nice job acquiring Quintana at the deadline this past summer. That solidifies it a little bit. You still have Lester, you have Quintana and Hendricks, but after that, 4 and 5, there's really nobody in the organization. I mean, Mike Montgomery, would you really trust him as number four? I don't think so. So I think the Cubs really need to put a priority on solidifying that rotation. And I think they also need to beef up the bullpen because right now Wade Davis is a free agent, and they really don't have, you're going to go with Justin Wilson. He flopped in the second half after acquiring from the Tigers. I know that was the plan, that when they acquired Wilson, that maybe they could slot him as the closer, but he just disappeared in the second half. So, I mean, is that somebody who you want to trust? So I think that if the Cubs are going to be investing free agent dollars, it's going to be maybe re-signing Wade Davis and to filling out their starting rotation because right now they have absolutely no depth.
Ed, I wanted to ask you about this. Carlos Beltran retiring after 20 years, and a lot of people are talking about this already, but in your opinion, is he a Hall of Fame player, or is he going to fall just short of that?
I think he's going to fall just short. He might be the 21st century Ron Santo, that he is a very good player when healthy, but if you take a look at some of the milestone stats, he really doesn't have it. I mean, his career batting average was .275. I know that's kind of falling by the wayside as far as importance, but he doesn't have 500 home runs. And, you know, again, he lost a good chunk of his, you know, the second half of his career to knee injuries. He's a good player, but is he a Hall of Fame player? And I think that's a real tough decision. So he might be one of those who can go in the first couple of years of eligibility, or if he does go in, he may have to wait like Tim Raines had to wait, you know, the 10 years or so. So, you know, if I had a ballot right now, I would probably say no. But then again, a lot of it also depends on who's he on the ballot with in the next 5 years. What's his competition to get that 75%? So, I think the farther removed writers are from a player's career, I think they have a more optimistic viewpoint of it. But again, there's still some quality players who have good, solid numbers, but they're not quite Hall of Fame numbers. And I don't know exactly if Beltran matches up. But that's me. I'm a little harder on who I think should be a Hall of Fame player, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does eventually get in.
Ed Creech with us for a few more minutes from MLBTradeRumors.com. Since this is the last time that we're talking to you this year, presumably anyway, do you expect there to be a team that makes a big splash at the winter meetings this year? Is there one that just seems like they're ripe to be really active?
I think right now, from everything that I can tell, it's going to be the Cardinals, because I think they're getting desperation mode. The Cardinal way, as far as building an organization, has always been a young, controllable talent, that your farm system produces your core, and that those kids develop and they become the major leaguers that you build around, and then you use trades and mid-tier, low-tier free agents to supplement that group. But what has happened, because they failed to make the playoffs the last couple of years, I think you've seen a lot of that young core that they had been counting on really take a step back or not develop, whether it be Diaz at short, Wong at second, or the entire outfield of Piscotty and Grichuk. I still think they're reeling from the death of Oscar Tavares 3 years ago. And don't forget, they gave up on Matt Adams, who, once they traded him to Atlanta, really blossomed in filling for Freddie Freeman at first base for the Braves. So, and I think right now, with their bullpen the way it is and the starting rotation getting old, I think they're desperate. I think they're feeling a little pressure that they haven't been to the playoffs the last couple of years. And I think they may be the ones to kind of get over their skis a little bit, that they may do some dramatic changes to try to get competitive again in the NL Central and get back to the playoffs. That's why I think they're, again, you take a look at the Cardinals' history, they don't go for splashy free agents. They quite correctly did not bid on Albert Pujols when he became a free agent. They decided let them walk because they could not make that kind of investment and still maintain the Cardinal way, and they were proven correct. And that's why I'm surprised that they're so heavy into Giancarlo Stanton. That's going to be a massive commitment for them. And again, it may hinder what they can actually do. So I think when you're desperate, you tend to go away from what you do best. And I think the Cardinals may make some moves that they think will help them in the short run, but I think it'd be disastrous for them. So I think if a team's going to be splashy, I think it's going to be the Cardinals, because they feel they have to do something to get back to the playoffs.
All right, Ed, you brought him up earlier, the Japanese free agent, the possibility that Shohei Ohtani is coming to the United States. Your best guess as to where he is pitching or hitting or doing both next year?
And the three finalists I have for that are going to be the Yankees, Dodgers, and Rangers, because he can follow in the footsteps of Darvish and see how successful he was there. And even though, again, the Rangers are the ones who can offer him the most money as far as the signing bonus for $3.5 million. But as far as promotional opportunities and endorsements, I think the Yankees and the Dodgers would fit well. And don't forget, the Yankees have had great success with luring Japanese players to the Bronx. So if I had to handicap anybody right now, it'd be those three teams. And two of those are American League teams that they could use Ohtani as a DH or even in the outfield. I think there's a few holes in the outfield for the Rangers where we could actually see full-time playing time in that outfield for for tax, especially if they were able to unload the contract of Shinsu Chu. So as we're talking with about Stanton earlier, with Ohtani, it's like, where does he want to play? The money's not going to be an issue because basically all 30 teams can will offer him roughly the same contract. It's where does he feel comfortable? Where does he want to feel that he can easily ingratiate himself into the community? You know, and right now, he's been very close to the vest as far as what he's seeking in a team. And I think it's still early in the process. And I think it'll be some team that gets creative. And it wouldn't surprise me if it blows us away as far as some team that we wouldn't expect being able to sign him. But, you know, if you had to handicap it right now, it's the Yankees, Dodgers, and Rangers.
Ed, we appreciate it as always. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And we'll talk to you around spring training probably.
Only 3 months away. I can't wait for it. And again, happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners. And again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah, 3 months away. You and me both. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com, does a great job joining us. And again, you want to stoke the flames of the hot stove this season? There's no better place to keep up on everything. And I mean everything, from minor league signings to the Rule 5 draft to winter meetings coverage. MLBTradeRumors.com is the place to go. And here's a little hint for you. If you like other sports, like the NFL, NBA, they have companion websites also. 626, we will take a timeout. When we come back, it's going to be another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Kyle is preparing it through the glass as I speak. Either that or he's getting his dinner ready. I don't know. Back with more after this.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000-mile mark. Right now, save on 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or High Mileage and an STP Extended Life Filter for $26.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hi, it's me, that little voice inside your head. You spent all year taking care of business. Let Office Depot Office Max take care of you. There's this new HP Pavilion laptop with 8th generation Intel Core i5 processor. Save $200, now just $449. Look at it. It's only $449 at Office Depot Office Max. Go ahead. You deserve it.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 11/11. Limit 1.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store and find great looks for all those holiday parties. Now through Sunday, get 60% off select styles of men's outerwear, hats, and gloves starting at just $6.99. Refresh your holiday wardrobe with 60% off men's sport coats, top coats, and dress pants starting at $23.99. We've got your style and size in-store and at jcp.com. Plus, the holiday challenge is here. Get everything on your list for less than you think. Hurry in. JCPenney.
Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
When was the last time you saw Guns N' Roses,
AC/DC,
Aerosmith,
Kiss,
Van Halen,
Queen,
Twisted Sister,
Journey,
Poison,
and Bon Jovi
all in the same night
with a fiery pyro show,
video screens,
smoke machines, makeup, costumes, fire, and a virtually endless playlist?
Hairball puts on a rock concert like you've never seen before.
Coming to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena this Saturday.
Tickets are on sale now at U.S. Cellular Center box office,
Ticketmaster.com,
or 800-745-3000. Presented by Henry's Hard Sparkling Soda.
It is almost 6:30. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle Mann, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media in Iowa City today. He says safety Amani Hooker hasn't practiced this week, and while he doesn't want to officially rule him out, he admits his likelihood of being available is decreasing by the day. The UNI men's team had much more success against Alcorn State than it did against North Carolina last Friday. They claimed their first win last night, 73-45 in Cedar Falls. Juwan McLeod led with 18 points, all those coming off of threes. Iowa State, however, will have to wait at least a couple more days for its first win. They fell last night to Milwaukee inside Hilton Coliseum, 74-56. It was the first loss in a home opener since 1997, and I really don't want to pile on, but there are some real concerns coming out of that game. The Cyclones turned the ball over 18 times with only 5 assists, shot 38% from the floor, and were out-rebounded by a school picked 8th in the 10-team Horizon League. The good news is that Iowa State wasn't at full strength and hopes to have Cameron Lard and Hans Braes back for the Puerto Rico tip-off later this week. We had so many weekly awards for various Hawkeyes yesterday, I didn't even mention Iowa State's Bridget Carlson being named the Big 12 Women's Player of the Week. We'll have her and the Cyclone Ladies on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, traveling to UNI right after our show. A lot of good college basketball tonight. We're also going to join top-ranked Duke and number 2 Michigan State in progress from the Champions Classic in Chicago, followed by number 4 Kansas and number 7 Kentucky. Those games can be heard on our North and South gym FM frequencies.
We talked last night, if you were with us on the program here in the third and final hour, about the coaching carousel that is about to spin perhaps almost off its axis in the college football world, with a couple high-profile jobs open in the SEC, maybe Nebraska. Well, let's not kid ourselves. Nebraska is going to be open, and who knows what other top job could become available. There is something that could be standing in the way of Chip Kelly coaching at either Tennessee or Florida. Remember, we talked yesterday about Chip Kelly, and he's a free agent right now. He's just working for TV. If a school wants to move on him, they can get a jump on all of the other competitors. And look, it's Chip Kelly. He's still a brand name, especially in the college game. Well, there's something that may keep SEC schools from getting in touch and hiring Chip Kelly. We'll tell you what it is when we return 6:32. Plus, we'll give you a preview of what the college football playoff could look like tonight. The poll, week 3, set to be released at halftime of Duke, Michigan State, the game that we will join in progress at the top of this hour. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM, after this.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-814-2162. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It'll be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car. And as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-814-2162. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-814-2162. That's 1-800-814-2162.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Welcome back. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing for about 25 minutes here. Don't forget, swing by KGYMradio.com tonight and vote in the poll question. What do you think of the Iowa State men's basketball season, the prospects for the season moving forward after watching them start the year 0-2. Couple options for you. Emil's Hideaway is sponsoring the poll question. They're on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Iowa State absolutely abysmal last night, losing at home, first time in 20 years that the Cyclones have dropped their regular season home opener, the last time 1997, which I believe came at the hands of the UNI Panthers. We had a couple people on the text line saying, hey, quit bagging on Iowa State. Prop up UNI. Give the Panthers some props for beating Elkhorn State last night at the McLeod Center. Okay, UNI beat Elkhorn State. They were supposed to. Just like Iowa State was a 15.5-point favorite. There was money to be made on that game in Las Vegas if you were throwing down on the money line. 319-366-1600. College football playoff poll. Week 3 edition set to be released tonight. Normally, we would already have it in hand, and we would be talking about it, but just as the folks with the committee did last year in conjunction with ESPN, releasing it at halftime of the Duke-Michigan State game in the Champions Classic in Chicago. So we can only speculate on what that poll will look like this week, but before we do that, we mentioned last night on this program the possibility that Chip Kelly could be patrolling an SEC sideline near you sometime soon, either in Gainesville or Knoxville. But there's a rule on the books, just put on the books, by the way, at the beginning of 2017, I think it was January, early this season, that a school has to consult with the commissioner of the SEC if it wishes to hire a coach who may draw the ire or be under the realm of the NCAA as far as investigations go. And if you remember, when the Chipster left Oregon for the NFL, a lot of people thought he was getting out of town ahead of the posse. And the posse showed up in Eugene. He wasn't there. But there were some things with that Oregon program that didn't necessarily add up in the eyes of the NCAA. So if you're Florida, if you're Tennessee, and you want to go the Chip Kelly route, you're going to maybe have to get approval from the conference commissioner, which I think is a good move on the part of the SEC, because whether it's fair or not, that conference has a reputation of, shall we say, looking the other way, turning a blind eye when it comes to cutting corners and skirting the rules. And so Chip Kelly, it's not easier said than done. Let's put it that way.
The interesting part about this is the reason that the NCAA was coming in to investigate Chip Kelly and his program at Oregon at the time had to do with a couple of recruits that they pulled, and apparently there were allegations that Chip Kelly was paying money to the program, our Oregon boosters, whoever. There was money coming from Eugene to somebody who was helping recruit high school football players out of the state of Florida. So that's the interesting part of this whole thing. It was the state of Florida that kind of got Chip Kelly in hot water, that got that program in hot water, and they really didn't get punished the way a lot of people thought that they were going to, including probably Chip Kelly. But it was the state of Florida. He has a big-time recruiting pipeline in that state, which could be a blessing and a curse if the Florida Gators were to decide to hire him. And that's an extra little wrinkle that they'd have to go through, getting the commissioner of the SEC in Birmingham, Alabama, to sign off on this.
All right, we are a couple hours away. This is killing me, because I think unlike weeks number 1 and 2, there's actually a little bit of suspense, right, tonight behind what the top 4 and the top 6 spots in the college football playoff poll are going to look like here in the third week. Where is Wisconsin going to be? They've survived undefeated again. Not only that, but a very impressive win over the Hawkeyes last week in Madison. Miami is set to move up. We know that Georgia is going to plummet after losing. Alabama's likely going to be the number 1 team. Alex, what's the top 4 look like?
I think we'll start at number 4. Clemson Tigers are going to stay there at number 4. and they're going to get jumped by Oklahoma and Miami at numbers 2 and 3. I'll go Oklahoma number 2 and Miami number 3. Alabama will be number 1. And the question is, who are the 5 and 6 teams just on the outside looking in? It's going to be Wisconsin. And Auburn, is going to jump up there into the top 6 after that victory over Georgia. I could be way wrong, but Miami's going to be in the top 4 after that victory over Notre Dame, because the committee has been giving Notre Dame all kinds of credit all year. So Miami's going to jump, and Wisconsin will get a good amount of credit for beating Iowa. They'll go from number 8 to number 5. That's just my guess.
Is he right? And if so, or if not, where'd he miss? 319-366-1600. Give that top 4 again.
So the
Alabama 1.
Alabama number 1, Oklahoma number 2, Miami number 3, and then Clemson number 4.
All right, and so you've got Wisconsin on the outside looking in.
And Auburn as well.
And Auburn as well. Is that fair? 319-366-1600.
I want to see what all of these losses inside the top 25 are going to do. Because I mentioned that Wisconsin is going to move up. I want to see what happens with UCF, because Kirby Hockett, who is the head of the College Football Playoff Committee, said last week that their strength of schedule is going to make it very difficult for them to move up. But I mean, the strength of schedule is very comparable to a lot of teams in the top 6. So I'll be interested to see what happens with them. The two Iowa teams, Iowa and Iowa State, I think they'll probably be just on the outside looking in at this point. And other than that, I think that the college football season is starting to take care. We always have the scenarios in our minds about who's gonna be in and what happens and if this happens. Well, Georgia, I don't think a lot of people thought Georgia was going to get embarrassed by Auburn last week. I know it was a road game and Auburn was playing well, but Georgia is all of a sudden has gone from the number one team to on the outside looking in, but they still have a chance to make up ground. And it's going to come down to conference championships. Clemson will probably play Miami. Georgia is going to play Alabama. So we haven't heard the last from some of these teams that lost last week, except for maybe Notre Dame.
Not that it matters, but chances that Iowa or Iowa State would hang on to, say, the 25th spot in the poll. Iowa got there to number 20 last week after not being ranked in the first week of the poll by obliterating Ohio State. They lost to Wisconsin. All of their losses are still to teams that are presumably inside the top 25 of the college football playoff poll. Do they get penalized more than 5 spots for getting blown out by Wisconsin?
I think they do, because some of the teams that were on the outside looking in had big-time weeks. Stanford, who had dropped out of the college football playoff rankings entirely, they went out and beat Washington last week. Arizona won again. They'll probably be back in the rankings. Michigan at 8-2. I know that they kept them out at 7-2. They're not going to keep an 8-2 Michigan team out of the college football playoff rankings again. So it's going to be about some of the teams who were left out being put back in, and I don't think they're going to put a 4 loss either of those teams in the college football playoff, but I could be wrong. I just don't think so.
319-366-1600. That's the Hurtine and Stocker text line. You can join the conversation as we make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. We are going to join Duke and Michigan State in progress. That game is underway in Chicago. It'll be followed by Kansas and Kentucky. And we mentioned this earlier on the program to keep with the football talk here. But Hawkeye football fans, I know you are, I think you're coming to grips with the fact that we're seeing the last of Josh Jackson in a Hawkeye uniform. Now, Desmond King came back, but Josh Jackson is starting to make appearances in the first round of mock drafts. And even more so than that, today at CBS Sports, he was listed as the 20th best prospect, regardless of position, for this year's NFL draft. And not only number 20 overall. Only one other corner, and he's a good one, Minka Fitzgerald at Alabama, who was number 3 on the list, was listed ahead of him. So CBS Sports has Josh Jackson as the number 2 corner in the entire draft this year. Are we looking at a first-round draft pick playing his final game at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday afternoon when Iowa entertains Purdue?
I think
the answer is yes,
I
Alex.
I think we are.
I asked a question that I know the answer to.
I do that all the time. Desmond King came back
to
Iowa.
Am I going to have Hy-Vee for lunch today? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, is that an example?
Yeah, that's exactly, okay. That is definitely an example. Am I going to do a three-hour show today? Yes. Desmond King came back for a couple of reasons, and we had somebody call into the post-game show to lay out the reasons why Josh Jackson was going to come back on Saturday. You missed that. You missed that, Todd.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I missed it. I wasn't here for
you,
it.
You were not here for it. And one of the reasons laid out was unfinished business. Desmond King came back for that reason after a 12-0 regular season. Josh Jackson would not be coming back to a 12-0 team. He would be coming back to a team that's losing a lot of senior core players. And his stock is, I don't think, going to drop during the pre-draft process the way that Desmond King's did. Desmond King's dropped because of his measurables, his height, his speed, just his size in general. All of that caused his stock presumably to drop. That will not be a problem with Josh Jackson. The way he is playing right now, his stock will never be higher than it is after this year. 7 interceptions. He's been, according to Pro Football Focus, one of the best cornerbacks in college football, and we can see that with our eyes. So I think that the NFL has put such a premium on shutdown corners because it's truly one of the most, I think the second most difficult position to play on the field other than quarterback. And there are very few guys that can shut down an opposing receiver while running backwards. And Josh Jackson has that gift. And I think he's going to be headed to the NFL. And when you see former NFL players and current NFL players who played at Iowa, like Jahleel Johnson and Marvin McNutt, saying he's going to be a first-round pick, he's probably going to be a first-round pick. Desmond King said it as well.
Yeah, and look, here's the beauty of this. King came back. His mom wanted him to come back. He came back. He went a little bit lower, what, 5th round, right, to the Los Angeles Chargers. But they got a steal. It's been proven that they made a very astute pick when he fell to them. So just because you're not a first-round draft pick doesn't necessarily mean that you're not in line. What it does mean is you're not in line for the big payday. And Josh Jackson, by working his way up into the first round, you're telling me the only way he comes back, and I'm concurring here, is that if Iowa gets waxed by Missouri or some team in the Music City Bowl on December 29th, and Josh Jackson goes, man, we got unfinished business in Iowa City. I'm coming back. There's no way. We are in the sundown period of Josh Jackson's Hawkeye football career, his final game. He's not going to go through senior day ceremonies on, so what did they say, 18 players today going through the senior day ceremonies on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium? He's not going to go through the senior day ceremonies, but I'm telling you this right now, Hawkeye fans, if you're going to be there for the Purdue game Saturday afternoon, cherish the memory of him in a Hawkeye uniform because he should leave. And I think Kirk Ferentz would say that. I think any advisor would tell him that your stock is never going to be higher.
I don't only think that we're probably looking at a first round draft pick. I think we're looking at a guy who could be talked about as a top 10, top 5 talent when all is said and done, because you just don't see guys that play that position as well as he does and have everything that you need. And I was interested to see that nobody had asked Kirk about it today, because last week he wasn't thrilled about the discussion of Josh Jackson going to the NFL. It's becoming more and more real every single week. And yeah. I just go back to the beginning of the season where we thought Manny Rigumba was going to be the guy who kind of shined at that cornerback position. Boy, were we wrong.
You gotta keep Kirk happy. You don't want to upset him too much. Especially
true.
After the Wisconsin loss. I don't necessarily agree with that, but look, most of the guys that cover the team, and you don't want to ruffle feathers. And so you can tell, okay, he's bristling at the thought of Josh Jackson. And I think it's a question that didn't necessarily need to be asked, because I think at this point it's apparent, and it was apparent a couple weeks ago, but he's played himself into a top. Look, if he's the number two corner and you're inside the top 10 and you need a corner, he could be a top 10 pick,
yes,
depending on what the area of needs and concerns are for teams that are picking at the top of the draft board. Now, we should note one other bit of information with the NFL draft this year. Josh Allen, who is the quarterback at Wyoming, who we saw at Kinnick Stadium on week one, who wasn't necessarily as impressive as some people thought he was going to be, he's injured his throwing shoulder. And I know Craig Bohl talked about this earlier in the week, yesterday during his weekly news conference, but it sounds like Wyoming may be without his services for a while, and that's going to be interesting to see whether his draft stock is affected. And Sam Darnold at USC suddenly reemerging as a likely top quarterback selection. So, you know, the NFL draft, we saw it with the Bears last year, it's all about the quarterbacks. And you trade up one spot to get Mitch Trubisky. We haven't even talked about John Fox and the Packers and the Bears. And I don't know whether we'll get to it tomorrow, and by Wednesday it's old news, right? But perhaps there's some coal to be mined there.
Was him challenging a play and losing the football the last straw for John Fox?
In Chicago? Oh, absolutely. They're crucifying him. His winning percentage right now is so bad that I think he would have to go, he'd have to win six games in a row or something like that to get to Dick Juron, and something like eight or nine to get to Mark Trestman. I mean, he hasn't gotten it done. It's been absolutely awful. And then not only that, but you make that decision in a rivalry game against the Packers. And where's Tariq Cohen? This is also, we could probably get to on tomorrow's program, but where's Tariq Cohen? The human joystick, the guy that would look, oh man, they got Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, or they trade up to get Mitch Trubisky, and then you don't use him to throw the ball. The Bears are a mess right now. We'll talk a little bit more NFL tomorrow as we get you ready for another week coming up on the program. Also, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your fantasy football questions tomorrow. Right now, Duke and Michigan State underway, and the Spartans looked like they were going to be left behind, but right now it's 26-25 with 3 minutes and 43 seconds remaining. Duke has a one-point lead, number one, number two, Champions Classic. You can watch it on ESPN right now. We're going to join coverage of that game in about 10 minutes. Back with more of the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
6:54 here to put the finishing touches on a Tuesday edition of the show with his final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. It's Kyle Mann, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media in Iowa City today. He says safety Amani Hooker hasn't practiced this week, and while he doesn't want to officially rule him out, he admits his likelihood of being available is decreasing by the day. The UNI men's team had much more success against Alcorn State than it did against North Carolina last Friday, claiming its first win last night, 73-45 in Cedar Falls. Juwan McLeod led with 18 points, all those coming from the three ball. Iowa State, however, will have to wait at least a couple more days for its first win. They fell last night to Milwaukee inside Hilton Coliseum 74-56. It was the first loss in a home opener since 1997, and not to pile on, but it really wasn't good. The Cyclones turned the ball over 18 times with only 5 assists, shot 38% from the floor, and were out-rebounded by a school picked 8th in the 10-team Horizon League. The good news is that Iowa State wasn't at full strength and does hope to have Cameron Lard and Hans Braes back for the Puerto Rico tip-off later this week. We had so many weekly awards for various Hawkeyes yesterday, I didn't even get to mention Iowa State's Bridget Carlson being named the Big 12 Women's Player of the Week. We'll have her and the Cyclone Ladies on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, traveling to UNI right after our show. There's a lot of good college basketball tonight. We're going to join top-ranked Duke and number 2 Michigan State in progress from the Champions Classic in Chicago. That's off to a good start. Followed by number 4 Kansas and number 7 Kentucky. Those games can be heard on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
All right, coming up on the program tomorrow, as we mentioned, it's going to be Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions. Get them to us early. Use the Hertin and Stocker text line 319-366-1600. Iowa State women and UNI women on 1600 AM tonight. The interstate rivalries starting with this. That's the kickoff, the first meeting, either men or women, of the in-state schools. The Hawkeyes will be back in action on Thursday. The men hosting Grambling State at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I think the Iowa women are at home tomorrow. We'll have plenty more on that. And I can't necessarily promise you that we'll bring back Kirk Roulette anytime soon, but it did help us get through hour number 2 today. Give us a follow on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, at Alex Kuhn 523, at KGYM Radio. Don't forget, stop by the website as well, KGYMRadio.com. If you missed anything from today, including our Hawkeye football chat with Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, the podcast will be available for download there. You can also vote in our poll question, brought to you one last time today by Emil's Hideaway. Find him on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Tori Lavullo, by the way, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, selected as the National League Manager of the Year. So a couple teams in the Diamondbacks and the Twins that weren't expected to do much back in March during spring training, exceeding expectations, and their managers bring home a little bit of hardware for it. Tomorrow is Cy Young MVP. What's the order? I think Cy Young tomorrow, and then MVP is usually the last award to be rolled out. We'll talk to you then. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill on the line for you tomorrow as well. Joining in progress now, Duke and Michigan State. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.